Wonderful to see you. Let me just,
Hello.
hey, let me just check my audio settings. Yeah, this is on full. Background noise is on high. Great. Can everybody hear me? Okay. I'm speaking loud enough. Great. Good, good. I'm quite excited, or should I say, feeling very comfortable with where we're at in the course now. We're really turning into the practices of shamatha. So I really feel like this is where we can have a very rich conversation. Hoping to hear from you today about how these practices are going for you. I feel like this is really our intention here, just to have an opportunity to really check in and see how these practices are landing, how you're bringing them into your daily life. Any struggles, challenges, aha moments, all of that. And so before we dive into kind of having this conversation or discussion, of course, we'll always begin with a little bit of practice. And I thought as we move into the practice today, it would be rather lovely to go through a little bit of a contemplation of the. Or just touch into the contemplations that we would always do if we have time before engaging in these shamatha practices, just to really see the power of contemplating, reflecting on these topics, and seeing really the powerful impact they have on our mind, on our ability to be present, on the kind of the energy or the warmth or the sort of how we turn up to the practice, how these infuse or significantly warm up the way that our practice goes. So with that said, let's just take a moment then to practice. Not a long one, but just really as a way of setting our intention. And creating a good environment. So, finding a comfortable posture. Spine is gently upright. And the body is relaxed and at ease. And then pausing for a while, allowing yourself just to relax and simply be. Just resting for a few moments in open awareness, where we're not even intentionally meditating, just simply let be as you are, resting undistracted. And then bringing to mind the sources of refuge, the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Seeing how that feels in the body when you bring the refuge to mind. And so you do this arousing bodhicitta. Touching in for your greatest aspiration for practicing. To help all beings be free from suffering. We don't need to force anything here, just simply seeing what happens when we bring to mind refuge, arouse bodhicitta. And then taking a moment just to appreciate that you are alive, that you have this precious human body. Not only that, but you've met with the Dharma, received teachings from an authentic teacher, and you're practicing these teachings. Just take a moment to recognize and rejoice in this precious human life. Filled with potential. And then reflecting for a few moments on the changing nature of reality. That with each inhalation and each exhalation, impermanence is all around us. Everything is changing. Our breath, our body, the environment is changing moment by moment. And then contemplate the interdependent nature of everything that you are experiencing. Your mind, your behavior, the environment, the universe is all related, interconnected. Recognize that our inner experience is shaped by what happens around us, what happens in our body and our mind shapes our experience and the way that we relate to the world. And lastly, develop a sense of renunciation, reflecting on how our expectations rarely match what actually happens. that wherever we look outside of ourselves for happiness, we don't find it. Recognize that most of the suffering we experience on a daily basis is self-created. And because it's self-created, we can also free ourselves from this suffering. And then drop any form of reflection and just simply rest again in awareness for a few moments. Just simply be as you are. And if you've had your eyes closed, you might like to gently open them and bring your awareness back to this group. Maybe feeling a sense of appreciation as you reach for your morning coffee. So I don't really want to take up too much time by chatting away here. I think it's very rich to hear from you. But I was hoping we can kind of stay with the topic of shamatha and your practice, how your practice is going, how your understanding is going, the impact of these practices in your day-to-day life. I think this could be a very rich conversation. And with that, please feel free to unmute. Or raise your hand if you'd like to.
Not Texas.
Hello, Annie Borden. No? Or was that accidental?
It was accidental. I noticed someone from in my area and I forgot I was on. Sorry.
No problem. Well, if nobody wants to speak, I can kick it off.
I could say something.
Oh, yes. Please, Chris.
So, yeah, just recently I've been noticing that doing the meditations, they're getting smoother. Like before, I was having trouble imagining the breath going down to my feet or whatever like that. But now it's, you know, that and also counting the breath. You know, I was more used to counting the breath on the up breath or the down breath, but getting it at the end of the breath in that null there was very difficult. So I think, and I was thinking about it, and I think it's really just practice and, you know, your mind changes, it grows new, you know, connections, synapses and all that kind of stuff. And then, so your body, mind or whatever, you know, can do these movements and stuff like that. So it's also interesting doing, I'm used to doing, you know, a type of martial art or something like that and physical movements, you know, yoga, stuff like that. So this is all inside stuff, stuff that you don't see, you know, and it's, that's pretty, you know, trying to, you know, get your mind wrapped around that, and make a picture of it is kind of an interesting exercise. And I think that just takes years of practice or something like that. But, I mean, I've been doing chanting and breathing exercises for a while now. And, I just notice how it affects your inside, like your lungs get stronger, your trachea gets stronger, and stuff like that. So I'm used to working from the outside in, and this is working from the inside out. So it's interesting. All right, that's it.
Thank you, Bruce. That's beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. Lisa, hi.
Good morning, Unsung. Good morning, everybody. So my question with this is, it still feels contrived, a little bit. I'm trying to get it to, and I know Rinpoche said that we do have the three personality types that I can just settle in with the counting, or with the body. Sometimes it just feels so forced. And I'm successful with the practices, certainly. But then there's a part of me that just says, I would rather just rest and open awareness. I don't want to, so I'm looking forward to the settling practices because I notice that there's some resistance to this. So I look at that. I look at the attachment, the aversion, and the tightness, and I look at that. And I suppose, I don't know, what are your thoughts about that for these types of beings?
Yeah, I'd encourage you, especially because you have such a background or an established practice of resting in open awareness. I would say that that's a great thing to come back to from time to time. So in that space, you could relax. And then certainly for me, I find that then alternating between counting and resting, there are times where my mind really does wander a lot, and sometimes I'm aware of that wandering. And other times I'm not so aware. So I can see the benefits of doing this practice. It does kind of and it's a great way of gathering the mind. I think that's a good way of a good terminology to use. It's a way of gathering the mind and a way of, if there are times where there's a lot going on, our minds are very hectic, things are very busy. That counting is a really wonderful support to really come back to and get a kind of stability. But if it's not serving you, and you'll find that we're going to go quite quickly now, 1 week on each practice. It's not a long time, and we'll see that. Okay, shamatha, 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 and the next thing you're in the deep end. You've gone from baby paddling pool to being able to put your feet on the ground. So, wow, now we're in the deep end. So I would just say make it work for you. Rest as much as you need to. Don't struggle with it. And as you said, when you're aware of that struggle, when you're aware of that tension, that's great. You can see it. You can relax, allow it to be there. Come back to the counting, but don't fight with the mind. The mind really doesn't want to be there, then just rest in open awareness.
Good. That's very helpful. Thank you, good son.
Thank you, Lisa. Yeah. Bob, yeah.
Hi,
Hey.
thank you, Kunsang. My question is on the five aggregates in shamatha. So, the form I understand, the feelings I understand. When we get to perception and mental factors and consciousness, it starts to blur. And when I get to perception, I feel like I've moved into vipassana. So I'm thinking of perception as like versus not like, and mental formations getting into like a value judgment. But could you help me kind of untangle that before we go beyond the stage and I haven't gotten it down right? And
You're
for some
muted.
reason,
You're muted.
sorry, sorry. Yes, this is a practice that we're going to go into more in the Abhidharma workshop. So I don't know if you have you joined. Are you joining the Abhidharma workshop, Bob?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. So session three, we'll be going into closely considering, which is where we really look towards the five aggregates. And I'm just trying to quickly pull up, the guided meditation that we did within the within Vajrayana line, just so I can double check what the practice was there that you've been given, the instructions that you've been given. Just 1 second. Because there was one thing in here actually that I noticed that I thought was actually quite confusing. So it's a great opportunity now to clarify this. So of the five aggregates, and this will be the fifth meditation that you'll be exploring. So maybe you're already exploring this already. We have the form aggregates. So as you said, we can recognize whatever is physical, whatever we can experience. So the four elements, noticing the four elements as you breathe, that's really, I think, quite straightforward. The twist here is seeing it as we're breathing. You know, it's quite specific. And this practice will get easier as you come into seeing the four elements in the body. It will get so much more easy. So in a way, we've got a heavy lift here. But seeing the wind element, obviously, as movement, seeing the temperature of the breath, the heaviness, all of that, quite straightforward. When it comes to the feeling, in the guided meditation that you've been given, the instructions there, we're really noticing the tactile sensations of the breath as you breathe in and breathe out, and noticing if these sensations are pleasant or unpleasant, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And really, what we're looking to see here is just simply, I would say, rather than looking to a specific sensation, we're looking to more of a feeling tone being, is the mind resisting that sensation? So the sensation might be pleasant or unpleasant, but what is the mind? What is the feeling? What is the way that we're interpreting that experience? So that feeling tone can be more of a mental tone as well as more of a physical tone, if that makes sense. And that's quite nuanced. And again, we'll unpack that more coming up when we go through the five aggregates in this workshop. So with perception, we're really looking to, you know, who is recognizing the breath. So we're just looking to see the one who is recognizing this aggregate of perception, the aggregate of knowing. This conceptual ability to perceive. And so then the mental formation is just as you said, it's all of the things that are arising within the mind. So it could be experiences of doubt, it could be images that are arising in the mind, anything that is forming there within the mind, all of that movement, if you like. And then consciousness, of course, is just this quality of knowing. It's the base consciousness for all of the other aggregates to occur. So I hope that bring some clarification.
Could you contrast perception and consciousness a bit more?
Yeah, let me come here. Yeah, Mingyur Rinpoche uses the term concept along with perception. So I think we can think of this as really perception, concept. Uh, So the consciousness is really the knowing quality of the mind, you know, the ability to cognize. And perception is really how we're experiencing reality, how we're perceiving reality.
Okay, I guess I'm kind of like talking as I'm thinking out loud, like I'm looking at this as kind of linear, but it's not really linear, the five aggregates.
Yeah, they're not linear. They're certainly all arising, maybe not all at the same time in a moment of experience, but they're certainly all there. But at the same time, of course, it's good to be clear about what we're looking for. As you're speaking here, it's very good to know what it is that we're looking to see.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bruce, I see. Or is there anybody else who hasn't spoken yet? Who? Annie Borden, yes.
Hi. Hello. I thank you. I'm confused by what Barb asked you. We're not really there yet, are we? That's still to come. I mean, we reviewed it earlier on, but now we're working with just shamatha to stabilize our minds, right?
I thought so. Yes.
And may I ask something? May I? Okay, good. That's a relief because I'm going. I thought I've been coming all the time. What did I miss? But I wonder. May I ask? With the perception concept, would that be like our view, our frame that how we look at things? Our, if it's different from consciousness, it has a there's a overlay or a layer of it. Would that be what it means?
The concept, the conceptual mind.
Right.
Yes.
Because we all frame things in a certain kind of way, and it's not true exactly how we're perceiving it. Okay,
yes,
thank you.
Exactly that. The conceptual mind, we're recognizing things, we're labeling things. You know, even the idea of I am breathing in, I am breathing out. This is the conceptual mind at play. It's because of the conceptual mind that we can identify certain qualities or discern certain qualities. So the conceptual mind is really the way that we function in the world. It's the way that we perceive. So I think hence perception, concept. And then consciousness is really this knowing quality of the mind. So all of the feelings, the concepts, all of the mental activities are based on this knowing quality, but it is not the same as. So we're kind of making that distinction. And so again, going back to how the five aggregates are really all of the pieces that make up who we are. We have a body. We have sensation, we have feeling, we have concepts going through the mind. You know, we recognize a dollar bill as a dollar bill, a $100 bill. We have mental formations, you know, all of the things that are arising through the mind, and then the consciousness itself, this quality that perceives, that knows, that is aware.
So could we think of the five aggregates, the form, feeling, concepts, mental formations, everything is like the pieces, like a smaller, and then the consciousness is an encompassing, you know, it's just big, you know, it's just, it encompasses all that, or it's broader, or like a bigger view than a littler view.
Yes. I think we could. It's the knowing quality that knows, that perceives, that is
big.
Aware. Yeah. It's
Thank
the
you.
The base of all of that. Bruce. Hey, Bruce.
Back again. It was on to the same subject. When you're talking about, you're talking about, you know, pulling stuff toward you and and pushing things away and stuff like that. I'm not saying the right words, but does that go down to the actual movements of the mind or something like that? Something comes up, a thought comes up, and then something, another one pushes away. So it's down at kind of down in the electrical or convulsions of the mind, because they're not running correctly. They're not running all in the same directions. So one is blocking the other, another one blocking another one. Can you kind of look at it that way? Because that's really subtle.
Of the way that the mind is sort of in this push and pull.
Yeah.
Is that what you're describing? Yes, yes. Yeah. I think that would be, you know, we would pick up on that with this kind of feeling tone.
You can kind of, yeah, the feeling tone, right.
So it's very subtle, and it's related both to where the mind is moving, the direction that the mind is going in, as well as responding to the physical sensations, you know. Yeah. So it is very, very subtle.
But you can feel it sometimes.
Yes,
that's very much so. Really weird.
And particularly through these shamatha practices, our awareness becomes more and more subtle. Yeah, and we pick up on more of,
and then you can learn to smooth it out.
I wouldn't say learn to smooth it out. Just the fact that we can see it means that we're no longer it's no longer running the show. We're starting to shine a torch into the corners of the room and see all the dust that's collected there that we just didn't see before. So the fact that we can just see what is playing out is already quite liberating. We're no longer at its mercy, and the practice then is to no longer struggle with what we see.
Mm-hmm.
Struggling itself will relieve the suffering that we are creating unconsciously.
Yeah, it's kind of a hard concept, but interesting. In the five aggregates, I started looking at them as a Russian doll, like the little one would be the form, and then that would be, then you get the next one up. So the one above always contains everything below to finally get up to consciousness, which contains them all, which makes the form or the body the smallest thing, and the largest thing is consciousness, the most important thing. So, good. Yeah. I was on the right track.
And then just remembering that any one of the five aggregates is a portal into seeing what is going on. So it's not that, as we said earlier, it's not that just one is arising at any given moment. You know, we all of these five make up who we are. But we can recognize, as you say, from the more gross, the physical body, going to the more subtle, the consciousness. And any one of those will offer us a window into what is going on. And you'll see as we go into that section, kind of how rapidly those five can shift from one to the other. It's moment by moment, you know. It's the moment you see something, concept. The moment you perceive that, probably a very visceral physical sensation. You know, it's like that. It's very, very fast, but really.
But they're not all the same. They're one packet, another packet, another packet, another packet.
It's like
35 milliliter film where you have 24 frames a second, but there's still frames each one.
Exactly.
The old CRTV would just be one line. It would just produce one line, and then, but it would be so fast, you'd see the whole picture.
Yeah.
So we actually work like that. We just.
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Bruce. Thanks. Bob. Yeah. Kit, I can see you're waving. Oh, sorry, Steve. I can see Steve's got his hand up.
Hi. Kusan, I love the way you just frame this. The practice is to not struggle with what we see, it's just really a beautiful way to sort of distill it down. I mean, it also points to the step-by-step practice, we usually don't see. We don't see. We're on auto. And then we see, and then we struggle. And then the next step is even simpler. It's just to see without the struggle. It resonates also with so much that we've already studied. It resonates very strongly for me with this Stephen Goodman book. He talks about tightness a lot. He describes the sort of core suffering as sort of this almost unseen tightness. So thank you for that. I thought that was wonderful to see it, but not to struggle.
Wonderful. Thank you, Steve. Thank you. We'll go more into this, when we in the Vipassana section, we'll go more and more closely, breaking down the minutiae of our experience and start to look first of all at the unique characteristics. So, for example, fire is warmth, water is fluid, or water is liquid, cohesion. So we'll look at each of the different elements and see their specific characteristics, and then take a step back and see the universal characteristics, which I'm sure you may have already read about, having read through Stephen Goodman's book and so forth. And for me, this again, the exploration is a little bit like going through the five aggregates. We're going from something that is more gross and more obvious to more subtle. And it's quite interesting because the subtle stuff to me is the stuff that's just there all the time, but we just don't see it. Like we just said, consciousness, it's the background, it's bigger, it's there all the time, but it's so subtle we don't see it. And the exploration where we go into the Vipassana section and start to observe the general or universal characteristics that everything by nature is impermanent, that everything by nature is dukkha, suffering. Because our lens has become so clean and we're really able to see quite accurately what is going on, then we'll get the subtlety of where those practices really take us. It's quite beautiful. I think it's quite beautiful. Dukkha, suffering. Lisa, I can see you've got your hand raised.
I know, I love this topic. This is so great. Thank you. And I pulled out my notes from Rinpoche from his retreat course where he talked about consciousness. Because I was concerned because I think it was Bruce, respectfully, Bruce, he said concept contains. And I'm concerned about that word because Rinpoche says, and this is from his notes, concept is just knowing, illuminating, like a screen reflecting light. Light is the consciousness. Matter slash form is the laptop, and consciousness is the light in the screen. We have both matter and consciousness. In the middle, the story comes, feeling, concept, volition, and these three are mixed together. So I think that's really important that we don't take consciousness and put it in a little, a little tight holding box. I got this because it's not some, I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, Kunsang, but I don't think it's something that we can get. I think it's something we can know.
Yeah, I like that word. It's something we can know. Thank you for reading that. It's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. Could you read that again? The Rinpoche's what Rinpoche shared. I think that's I love between these two, we have all of the other.
Okay, here it is. Wait a second. Ready to go? I put it down.
Oh, sorry. I thought you just said it. Don't
I
worry.
did, and it's gone. Like most things, they come and they go in the space of awareness.
Yeah, that's great.
I have it here. I wrote
If
it
you need
down.
it, you can share it in the forum. It'd be nice to for people to read. I always like to take my time, read that, and just let it kind of wash in, you know.
I'll say it one more time because as the other person was speaking, I wrote it down because I love it too. Attachment, great attachment. Consciousness is just knowing, illuminating, like a screen reflecting light. Light is the consciousness, mind form is the laptop, and consciousness is light in the screen. We have both matter and consciousness. In the middle, the story comes, concept, feelings, volition, and these three are mixed together. I'll put it in the forum for those who didn't have a
Yeah.
chance to see the retreat. Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank
Yeah,
you.
you're welcome.
And just to give a plug for these retreats that we have with Rinpoche, I mean, whenever he's in front of an audience, you know, the gems just pour out of him, obviously, you know. But it's so rich. So if anybody has any doubt about joining the end of the Abhidharma retreat, I would really put a huge plug for it. Even if it's material that you feel like you've already covered, just that live transmission that comes through, and particularly having already covered stuff, then you hear it through a totally different new lens. Yeah. Barb, please come on. Yeah.
Thank you. The question that I had before was from the shamatha section on meditation of closely considering. So as I'm practicing and I'm looking at the five aggregates, Lama Trini talked about this a little bit. We get into Vipassana when we start questioning, you know, how does this feel and so on. And so I see that it's very subtle when you can move from shamatha into vipassana, and I'm wondering as you're meditating, as I'm meditating, if the mind slips into vipassana without being aware it, which adds to the confusion. And are there any flags where it's kind of like, wait a minute, you're in this realm, you need to go back to this realm?
Yeah, great question. Great practical question. I mean, whenever Rinpoche talks about practicing Vipassana, he always talks about the union of shamatha and Vipassana. So just to know that whenever we're inquiring into our experience, there will be shamatha there also by default. You know, it's always the union, that the shamatha there being this quality of just simply knowing, right? This quality of stability of mind that is able to stay with and know what we're experiencing. And I found it quite challenging first going through these practices in stainless prajna, because my understanding of vipassana was always that, you know, whenever you're inquiring and looking into the nature of your experience, that is vipassana practice. But we have some practices here which are, as you say, they're kind of on the cusp. And even in the shamatha section here, I can't remember actually off the top of my head what practices you've got in the shamatha section, but there are some that are kind of a middle ground. Closely considering the breath, you know, you're starting to kind of inquire into the experience. Is the breath helping me or harming me? You know, is it beneficial or is it warm or cool? You know, we're starting to get that inquiring element to sort of slowly start to work. So could we put a very hard line? Is it Vipassana? Is it Shamatha? We can't really. It's a little bit of a mixture of both. And then, you know, following the practices as they're presented in stainless prajna, you know, we can bring awareness to the sensations in the body, looking to see whether there's a fire element arising, being known. You know, why is that Vipassana now? I don't know. Why is seeing the fire element Vipassana, but seeing if the breath is hot or cold, a shamatha? You know, I think it's we don't need to worry too much about that. But just to know that, yeah, we don't need to worry too much. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. That helps a lot.
I mean, we could say that wisdom is always seeing things as they truly are, right? Whenever we see something as it really is, that's wisdom. Any other questions or comments? Is anybody, something that came up a few times in the workshop yesterday, is anybody feeling a little bit more tight when they're doing these practices? They can be quite different if you've been practicing a lot with the style of practice that Rinpoche usually presents. Some of these practices can be quite different. Shelley.
Good morning. Thank you, Akung-san. As far as what you just asked about that, if anything, what I'm experiencing is in the meditations, and by the way, I think these courses are just really, really well done, is recognition of that feeling of tightness and the grasping, and in that recognition and just kind of letting it be, I'm actually able to let go a lot more than I have been in the past. It's just by virtue of seeing that and recognizing. So it's been very beneficial to me.
Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. Leslie? Hi.
Thank you. This is all so helpful. I really struggled with this practice at the beginning. And what really helped was Lama Trinley said, well, look at the Four Noble Truths. And I thought, oh gosh, I really am suffering. And so it did kind of go off on a little bit of like, oh yeah, I'm suffering because, you know, if I don't breathe, I'm going to die. I'm going to do this and that. But it opened up it enough. And then I went back and said, now go back and relax into it and do the shamatha. So my question is that I have a tendency to want to go to just breathing in and not focusing, breathing in my whole body and not focusing. And am I skipping steps that I really should pay more attention to?
Is that with the counting, following, settling? Which one?
Yeah, the counting, I tried a few things. I tried counting in my head. I really got tight on that. And then I just did my fingers. And then I just sort of ignored it a bit. You know, I just kept the counting way off into the distance. And so that's helped. But yeah. I still want to go to the other thing.
So I think, yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought of counting with your fingers or keeping it way off in the distance. That's great. I think, you know, we need to make these practices ours. We'll all interpret them in very different ways. If at any time you feel like, you know, your concentration is getting too focused and you can feel the contraction that comes within that, I would suggest just feeling the whole body breathing as you're counting is just fine, really just fine. When we're following the breath, we've got a little bit more direction there. We want to try to bring awareness as we follow. And again, it's a light touch of awareness. We can feel the sensation. We can feel it going a little bit more. We can feel the movement a little bit more. We can go into the subtle breath a little bit more. And again, if we feel that we're getting tight, like just relax, maybe even just rest in open awareness. Or as you said from Lama Trini, see the suffering that's in there. So it's really finding the skillful ways to work with that. And we can see that it's a process. So something that might feel awkward at the beginning or tight at the beginning because your mind and body is getting used to how this feels. Maybe with a little bit of time, it becomes easier. There's less intensity as we're trying to find our way with it. And as it becomes familiar, then we can see that the body mind starts to relax. But of course, if it doesn't, then that also, it's not a bad thing. You know, we just work with that in the ways that we've just shared. Yeah.
guess one other thing, and maybe I'm thinking about this too much, is not losing something because I think I've got it. You know, when I think I've got it, you know, then I kind of trap and I stop. So maybe you could comment a little bit about that, about being in.
I mean, that's the great thing about the breath, because we've never got it, right? This it's it's a process. It's there is no, this is the breath right now. I've got it. The breath, like everything, moment by moment is changing, moment by moment. So it's there was a beautiful quote by Sharon Salzberg that came up on the Vajrayana online. You know, it's learning to begin again, learning to begin again. So, you know, feeling like you've got it, of course, that's a wonderful feeling. It's like, oh, yeah, I got it. then maybe we haven't, you know, it's just that's going to slip away. That's a concept. That's a distraction. That's maybe a moment of grasping. And then we just begin again. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Any other insights with these practices? What I find so heartening with them is we can be so critical of ourselves. I'll just see there's maybe something in the chat. We can be very, very hard on ourselves. We have a certain expectation or a certain idea that our practice will be a certain way. You know, we want to just sit down and rest and watch the breath, and we find that, gosh, that is just, it's not so easy. But we can take heart that we don't need to get anywhere with these practices. We just do them, trust in them. And over the time, we can see that they do work. If we're consistent with them, they do work. You know, and when I say consistent, we'll see that we can change from one practice to another practice. But just that daily sitting. Somebody shared yesterday that at the beginning of every session, they will always begin with counting the breath. This is something that I got familiar with Mahamudra teachings with Thaisithu Rinpoche. He would always begin every single session with 21 breaths before we even start refuge and bodhicitta. The first thing we would do every single time we sit down, count 21 breaths. And it's such a great way of coming into the body, really being present, so that then when you do recite refuge and bodhicitta, you're really present with it. And likewise, you know, the practice that we just did at the beginning of this session, contemplating the four thoughts, it really does help establish a mind that is going to be inclined to sit, you know, regardless of what is coming up. It really does help to orient, to let go. If we think about what it is that pulls us away from practice, you know, we're kind of fixated on something, got something going on. And so those contemplations work on a very deep and profound level, helping us to let go of what might be pulling us away, softening. Yeah. Lisa.
I'm sorry, I'm the chatty Cathy. I promise I didn't have lots of coffee this morning. No, you asked what was inspiring. And what's very inspiring is being okay with not okay. I find that in those moments, because in the past, it was very difficult to connect with practice in daily life. And now, well, there's a lot of not okay. So when I find a not okay moment, I can see, oh, not okay, I can recognize that. Oh, grasping, I can recognize that. Oh, wanting to pull towards, I can recognize that. Oh, emotion. So it just becomes, there's just like so much there in that little being okay with not okay. It's so full. That's the whole practice now for me in my daily life. So I wanted to share that.
Beautiful. Thank you. And as you're saying that, I was just thinking of what was shared earlier, and then the first noble truth, the truth of suffering, and then the second noble truth, the truth of the cause of suffering. So just finding that language, making those connections, and yeah, it's just really beautiful coming back to that. So assuring. so reassuring. Beetle. Hello, hello.
Hello, everybody. Beetle from Minneapolis. And recently, a man who runs an orphanage in Tibet gave a teaching about how to live with a courageous heart in a times of crisis. And he talked about how he taught the children as they come in. And it was so fascinating because he also talked about the 21 breaths, but he counts backwards. Mm-hmm. Which it kind of takes your mind. And so I've been practicing that. And, you know, it kind of, you know, I kept getting mixed up with 12, 11, 10. Then, you know, you're not going 14, 13. it's just very interesting. And I found it very calming, even using it in the dentist chair yesterday. But the power of the breath. The power of the breath is quite amazing, and it was really inspirational to hear how he worked with the children who are in crisis and coming into the orphanage, and how powerful that practice is. So thank you for all this wonderful stuff, and I'm really thinking about that retreat at the end of February.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing, Beetle. Great. Well, we're almost up for our time. Any last comments? Got a couple more minutes.
So is the retreat, is that in person or is it through Zoom? I'm not familiar.
It'll be Zoom.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have a retreat coming up. Let me just get my calendar here. I'm so bad with dates. We have an Abhidharma retreat on the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. So that's in just 2 weeks' time. And that will be with Lama Trinley guiding. It'll be quite exciting. We're going to have slightly new elements to the retreat where we'll be able to have small breakout rooms for people to discuss and really see how the practice is going for you. As well as presentations from the guides who will be working on that retreat. So that will be mostly with Lama Trinley being the main teacher. And then at the end of the transmission let me get my calendar. Just at the end of the year-long transmission, there will be another closing retreat. Here we go. June 6th to 8th. The Abhidharma closing retreat, which will be very exciting. Yeah. And so the great thing about these retreats is really time on the cushion, away from the busyness of life. And I mean, as you can see, I'm sure the power of practicing together, even if it's through Zoom, the power of practicing together is really quite, quite special. And the opportunity to check in and really, yeah, see how it's going for you, hear from others. Wonderful. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you so, so much for your comments and your sharing. And it's really a joy to be on this journey with you all. And maybe we can just bring to mind any merit, any positive virtue from our sharing and are practicing together. May this ripple out into the world. May we find what is already here, innate peace, innate well-being. May all beings really move beyond suffering, recognize their potential. Maybe making the aspiration that we may meet with these teachings life after life and continue to.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.